come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
My next guest is probably the best-known female journalist in all of business journalism. Maria Bartiromo is the anchor of CNBC's Closing Bell with Maria Bartiromo, and she's host and managing editor of the nationally syndicated The Wall Street Journal Report with Maria Bartiromo, rated as the most watched financial news program. In 1995, Maria became the first journalist to report live from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange on a daily basis. Maria joined CNBC in 1993 after 5 years as a producer, a writer, and an assignment editor at CNN Business News. She won an Emmy Award for her 2009 documentary, Inside the Mind of Google. Also in 2009, the Financial Times named her one of the 50 faces that shaped the decade. Maria was the first female journalist to be inducted into the Cable Hall of Fame for her impact on the cable industry. Maria is also the author of several books, including The Weekend That Changed Wall Street and The 10 Laws of Enduring Success. Maria graduated from New York University, where she studied journalism and economics. She has served as an adjunct professor at NYU Stern School of Business. She lives in New York City with her husband and joining us from New York City. Hi, Maria. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well,
how are you?
Thank you for being our guest on the show. Doing great. And it was a wild day on Wall Street. I had a whole line of questions that I was going to ask you, but it all got preempted in the last 60 minutes of trading today. So let's talk about the drama that really unfolded in the financial sector of the economy. The Federal Reserve was going to announce the results of the bank stress tests, and they were going to make that announcement on Thursday. However, J.P. Morgan Chase jumped the gun and announced two things, that number one, they had passed the stress test, and number two, that they were going to increase their dividend, something that the Fed had prevented them from doing in the financial crisis, and they were going to do a stock buyback. Rarely do you see such one-upmanship in business. What does Jamie Dimon's announcement tell us about the economy, tell us about Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase, and the prospects of the coming year for the company?
Well, a couple of questions there. I think, first of all, what J.P. Morgan did was react to something that has certainly been very frustrating for the company. You know, let's go back to 2008 when we were in the throes of a financial crisis and the banking sector was brought to its knees, and the federal government said, look, we have to give out TARP and you will accept this money. And even J.P. Morgan said, we don't want to accept the money because we know with accepting money comes terms. And they accepted it anyway because the Fed and Treasury did not want it to be obvious who the weak players were and who the strong players are. Now, fast forward to today, 2012, when Ben Bernanke is trying to be transparent and a lot more transparent than the Fed has ever been, and so comes out with these stress tests. It makes these stress test measures very clear. And let me tell you, it was real stress. I mean, the point of these stress tests or the Federal Reserve is to ensure that the banks, the major banks in this country, have enough capital in the face of severe stress. And they measured severe stress as 13% unemployment, a decline in the stock market of 50%, unemployment, as I said, at 13%, and a housing crisis that continues down, I believe, 20%. So those were the measures. So for the last several years, you know, as these banks, J.P. Morgan in particular, have been strengthening by doing capital raises, by selling off assets, by cutting employees, as well as cutting investments, and really raising their capital levels, throughout this time, J.P. Morgan was feeling more confident and more confident and more confident about its own capital position. Jamie Dimon, in several interviews that I've had with him over the last 2 years, has been very clear that he wants to raise the dividend, that they have come through it, that they've raised an appropriate amount of capital, that they want to raise the dividend, but the Federal Reserve will not give them the blessing to do so. And because they accepted TARP money, and because they were part of this whole, you know, sort of accepting the TARP on the industry, even though, remember, back in 2008, they said they didn't want to accept any money, but they were forced to because the Fed didn't want to identify the weak players from the strong players because that would create a market reaction. They have been frustrated. They have been frustrated that they want to raise the dividend. So I believe, and I don't know because I haven't spoken to Jamie Dimon or J.P. Morgan Chase today, I mean, after the news was out, obviously we called for a statement. They provided a statement in the statements of raising the dividend and the buyback plan. But I don't know if this was actually, you know, what was in Jamie Dimon's mind by, as you say, you know, one-upping everybody. But I think probably once he got the word, the official word from the Federal Reserve that, yes, they passed the stress test, which they have been saying for, you know, in my interview with Jamie in January, he said, we have enough capital, we have plenty of capital, now it's getting too much, we want to raise the dividend, as soon as we get the go-ahead, we're going to do it. So I think as soon as he got the news, he went, made it public, and raised the dividend like the board had agreed to, probably, you know, certainly at the last meeting, and instituted that buyback plan. What I could guess is that maybe the Fed did not say to J.P. Morgan specifically, you know, do not do this today because we're going to announce everything on Thursday. But certainly J.P. Morgan moved the Fed's hand. The Fed was supposed to come out with the details of the stress tests on Thursday and instead came out with the news tonight at 4:30.
They did. My guest is Maria Bartiromo. She is the anchor of Closing Bell on CNBC. So, Maria, when they announced the results of the stress test, of course, J.P. Morgan Chase came out smelling like a rose. Many banks came out smelling like a rose. However, there were four stinkers in the flower patch there. Who were the four banks that did not pass the stress test?
Well, MetLife, which really, you know, I mean, now, you know, when you start thinking about the banks that failed, okay, so it's MetLife, it's Ally Financial, Citigroup, and SunTrust, okay? When you look at those four banks that actually failed the test, then you have to wonder whether or not this new age of transparency will actually work against some players. Because, you know, again, you go back to 2008, the Fed did not want the world, the investment community, to know specifically who were the real weak spots, who were the strong players back in 2008. That was the reason of giving everybody TARP money, because you didn't want to, because then they were afraid they would have a run on the bank. Okay, so, you know, everybody accepts the TARP and everybody follows the rules, and that is the Fed will decide when you're going to move on dividends. The Fed will decide if you're going to use that money to buy back stock. Okay, you have to get the okay of the Fed. So here we are now in a new age of transparency, and the Fed is transparent and decides, okay, out of the 19 banks, we're going to say who passed, who failed. Now we see four banks failed. In the aftermarket tonight, right after the close, those bank stocks sold off. So again, and then, you know, when you have people look, oh, so like MetLife, I don't know, what will that do to MetLife's business? Here you have an insurance company that is being talked about that is not on par with the standards of the financial industry, right?
Right.
If it's not, okay, so what does that do for credibility, for the perception, for the ongoing business for MetLife, you know, being in an insurance company? So, you know, you have to really, that was the whole point of 2008 of not telling who were the weak and who were the strong. So I don't know. I think, so it was really interesting, the developments that took place tonight. Because, yes, you have this whole drama about J.P. Morgan coming out and, you know, one-upping everybody, sure. But basically, you know that they were so frustrated about not being able to move on the dividend, about the market value from the top. Talking about a stock now that's trading at about $43, but way down from the highs. And so investors are asking, what are you doing to ensure that there's shareholder value here? And he can't do anything. The management team can't do anything because the Fed has to okay, you know, any payouts to shareholders, even though they didn't want to be under these rules. Well, they say they didn't want to be under these rules to begin with, because they didn't want to accept the TARP money. Having said that, they accepted the TARP money, so I guess that's debatable.
My guest is Maria Bartiromo. She is the anchor of Closing Bell on CNBC. You are really at the top of your field. Give my listeners who may not be familiar with your body of work just an overview of your rise in the financial reporting world.
Well, I've been with CNBC now, believe it or not, 19 years, and I started as a writer and a producer at CNN, and I guess my big break came at CNBC. I went on camera at CNBC in 1993 covering business news, and my big break came in 93 when I became the first person to report live from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And since that time, almost 20 years ago, I've seen really and had the great fortune to be able to have this front row seat in so many amazing developments in our world of money, if you will, and the economy. By first witnessing individual investors get empowered with so much information, enabling them to invest for themselves. The next big boom was globalization, where one thing happened in one part of the world and it immediately impacted another part of the world. And then, of course, we watched the technology boom of the 90s, where anything, you know, with the dot-com associated with it was soaring in value, and the markets were certainly in overdrive. And then, of course, we had an enormous housing boom and a Goldilocks economy where, you know, for no real reason, people just believed that home prices would continue rallying and move higher until we saw a huge bust in housing. Of course, here we are today watching even more changes happen with the financial services industry and a new regulatory regime. So I feel so fortunate to have been able to report and participate in some of the biggest stories of the global economy, really. And you know, I think my rise, partly because of the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, has also been possible because I work really hard. I love what I do. I've been... over the years, really have come to interview and sort of take pride in the interview of the moment. And so for a while, it was really, you know, leaders of companies, global corporations, the CEOs. But recently, I've tried to up my game, and I've started really branching out in terms of interviewing heads of state and really economic powers globally. I had an exclusive last week with the Prime Minister of Italy, Mario Monti, and we really talked about the Eurozone problems, which, of course, I should mention is probably the next and the biggest huge development in global business because, you know, once again, we're looking at debt really unravel strong powerhouses, countries in the Eurozone, the way that debt unraveled so many fortunes in the United States over housing and really, again, leverage. So I feel fortunate to have been able to learn so much and also be able to communicate in some cases, very complex situations having to deal with money in hopefully an accessible way.
Oh, that is great. Maria, we've got a caller. Rick wants, from Newberry Park, wants to ask a question. Rick, are you on the line?
I am. Thank you very much. And Bill, it's great to hear from you on the afternoon.
Ah, thanks, Rick, and thanks for being a loyal listener. What's your question for Maria?
Well, I tell you what, Maria, thank you very much for taking my call, and I do enjoy reading your writings. What's your personal impression of Mr. Jamie Dimon?
Well, I think, you know, Jamie Dimon has been an effective leader, and he has inspired confidence within J.P. Morgan. I also think that Jamie Dimon, you know, is a New Yorker, a Chicagoan, I guess, and is
Ohio.
And comes across very straightforward, and in some ways can be looked at, you know, in terms of aggressive or, you know, but I think if you're looking at Jamie Dimon's credentials, I think he has shown leadership. I think he has been faced with and dealt with serious problems, not only for his company, but for the financial services industry globally. And I think that he has inspired confidence despite having been part of and probably contributed to the financial crisis of 2008.
Maria, thanks. And Rick,
Thank you very much. I appreciate your input.
Thanks, Rick, and thanks for being a loyal listener to the Bill Frank Radio Show. So, Maria, I'm going to hold you over for just one more question, if I can, because you said in your journalistic career you're branching out, interviewing heads of state and so forth. I've got to ask you the question, and this is a tough question. It's like asking you to decide amongst your children which one is your favorite. But who among all of the interviews that you have done ranks as one of, if not the most important interview that you've done?
Well, I really don't have one single interview that is the most important. I think, you know, for me, it's really getting the person of the moment, which is why Mario Monti from Italy was so important two weeks ago, or why Jean-Claude Trichet, the former head of the European Central Bank, was so critical when we were first seeing what was going on in Europe last year and 2 years ago. So I think, you know, what I try to do is get the person of the moment, and that's why, you know, I'm trying to, you know, diversify into different areas. So I don't really have one that I have to say is the most important, and because it's all different people. I mean, and plus it's different forums. You know, I've got the Closing Bell program every day live on CNBC. That's from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 5 o'clock, and I've got the Wall Street Journal report, which airs on the weekend. And then I've got my column in USA Today newspaper, which is once a month. And next week, my featured interview will be Larry Fink
Wow.
from BlackRock. And I do believe that he will be the next Treasury Secretary if President Obama gets reelected.
Ooh, a bold prediction from Maria Bartiromo. Maria, it has been a delight. If people are intrigued and they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, I mean, I'm always tweeting at Maria Bartiromo, and I'm also on Google Plus. And the handle, again, is at Maria Bartiromo. And, of course, I have my own website at bartiromo.com.
That is great. Lots of different ways to get you in the electronic age. Maria, thank you so much for taking time out of your evening and being our guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. I so appreciate it.
Thank you.